Today's shiur is Masechta Erevin Daf Kuf, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Tesav and Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Ilan Sheyemesech Al Aretz. If you have a tree whose branches are hanging over the ground, Im Ein Naifai, Gevayim Al Aretz Shalosh Etfachim, if the branches are not higher than three Tfachim from the ground, for when they're not higher than three Tfachim from the ground, then the halacha looks at them as connected to the ground because of lavud. The halacha is betatlum tachtav. Then one may carry under those branches because we know that is considered an enclosed area, the area under the branches. The Gemara discusses in Masechta Beya that the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. That these branches that we're speaking about that have to be hanging over have to be made in a way that they're close together, that they won't shake, because if it's a mechitza that cannot withstand the ruach mitzuya, so we know throughout Shas the Allah is a mechitza she'eni yichoy lamed beruach mitzuya ain a mechitza. So therefore, we have to be referring to a situation where there's no space between the branches. And furthermore, that the branches are sturdy and don't get blown around with the wind. There's also a question that the Achronim discuss. What's the halacha if you have a mechitza that doesn't get blown around the wind? The reason it doesn't get blown around the wind is because it's next to walls. So the walls prevent it from getting blown around. Is that considered a sturdy mechitza or not a sturdy mechitza, given that the only reason they stay is because the walls hold them? It seems that the Mishnah Berurah takes a strict approach to that question, and he considers those branches not to be considered sturdy walls because they're not independently sturdy. The Chaznish was more lenient. Shroshav Gevayim and Arts. So you have, if you have roots that are coming out of the ground, Shloshet Tfachim, higher than three Tfachim, Daloch is La Yesh Veleim, one may not sit on those branches. And the reason you may not sit on those branches is because the halacha is that you're not allowed to sit on something which is considered a tree. And branches that are sticking out of the ground to that degree are considered like they're part of a tree. Even though we're learning that you're allowed to carry under the branches of the tree, as we just discussed, says the Gemara, we're not allowed to carry under those Yosem Beis Asayim. As we've learned, Baruch Hashem, so many times, that when you have a karfif, shloi hukaf ladira, you have a field that wasn't meant to be enclosed for living purposes, if it's Yosem Beis Asayim, if it's an area larger than a Beis Asayim, then it's not a place, it's considered a karmelis, and you're not allowed to carry there. So says the Gemara, that under all circumstances, if under the branches you have such a large area that it's Yosef Beis Asayim, you can't carry there. My Tama, and explains the Gemara, Mishum da havadira shetashmish al arve, such an area is not meant for living. The chol dira shetashmish al avir, where it's only meant for non-permanent living places, ematatma by Yosef Beis Asayim, we can't carry if it's larger than Beis Asayim. So the Rishonim discuss what is going to be the halacha if a person is going to decide to live there on a permanent basis. So they say that certainly if you planted the tree with that intention, so then it's considered a full-fledged dira. Furthermore, they explain that if it's a place where somebody actually lives there on a permanent basis, then that too will be considered a dira. But what most of them are of the opinion, if it's only because it's your intention to be there, but you aren't actually living there, or you haven't actually planted it for that purpose, then it cannot be considered a dira. So we learned in the Mishnah, Shroshik Vayim and Aretz, if you have roots that go up more than three tefachim from the ground, then that root is considered an independent part of the Elon. And since it's considered an independent part of the Elon, and we know, as we learned, that we're going to learn actually extensively in today's shir, it's the halacha is Eim Mishtam Shem B'Elon. So I saw that the Chishuki Chemin has an interesting discussion. What would be the halacha if as Shabbos began, the root was above 3 tefachim from the ground. So certainly if the root is above 3 tefachim from the ground, as we're learning, you may not sit on it. And on Shabbos, you poured earth on that area. And by pouring earth on that area, now it's not 3 tefachim from the ground. What's going to be the halacha? So he seems to take a lenient approach. He says, the only time we need to be concerned that if something changes on Shabbos, that's something to think about, is when the change is in the actual object or item that we're discussing. So we would take the root and make it lower. That would be a question. Here, since we're only pouring earth on the root, even though certainly one would have not allowed to do that, then the halacha is that it's not considered that you did anything wrong and you could sit on that root. He then goes on to discuss, so what would be the halacha by a sukkah? When we learned Hilchas Sukkah, we know, as we discussed at the beginning of our Masechta, actually, that a sukkah that's above 20 amma is too tall. So what's going to happen if you have a sukkah that's that tall and you pour earth on the floor of the sukkah, and by putting earth on the floor of the sukkah, now the area is not 20 amas tall. Will that now become a kosher sukkah? And he says, just because he was lenient in the question that we discussed regarding our sugya, doesn't mean that we should be lenient in that subject as well. So we learned, Hayish Rasha Gvayim and Arutz, if the roots are more than 3 tefachim above the ground, then you can't sit on them. Itmar, so we learned, Shrasha Oilam, if you have roots of a tree, Habar Melmala Mishloish L'Toyach Shloisha, they started above 3 tefachim, and now they go below 3 tefachim. And somebody wants to sit on the area which is within 3 tefachim of the ground. Rava Amar Mutal Shtamash Behem, Rava says that you're allowed to sit on them, and Rav Shesh Shama Osel Shtamash Behem. Rava Amar Mutal Shtamash Behem, the Kol Pachs Mishloish Da'ara, we learned in our Mishnah that whenever it's underground, whenever it's on less than 3 tefachim, arihi. Rav Sheshi Somer, Osel Shtash Ben, we can't sit on these roots. The Kivan the Mikoyachi Sur Kasi, since they emanate from an area which is higher than 3 tefachim, they are considered like the area which is above 3 tefachim and as Surim. But I saw that Tosfos Rosh explains that certainly if the roots that we will be talking about went back underground, when they go back underground, then there's no concern that we could sit on those roots. The Gemara gives different examples that all are, as we're going to see, the same question. In a situation, says the Gemara, the Domek Kumishnisa, where you have roots that look like they're going out of the ground on a slant, and you have some roots that are sticking out of the root pointing forward, pointing downwards. Says the Gemara, anything that's pointing above, out of the root that's above 3 tefachim, pointing upwards, the sakan le'elim, everybody will agree with a surim, because they're above 3 tefachim. The nachsi le'tatoi, the part that's below 3 tefachim, that is under the ground, that is certainly mutter. Le'tzdodim, the parts that go out of the root, are below 3 tefachim, but they are emanating from the root, which is above 3 tefachim. That is, says the Gemara, will be the subject of Pluk the Rabbi Rav Sheshes, the Machlokes of Rabbi Rav Sheshes. So, of course, the Rishonim asked the question, the Tosfos Rosh, why does the Gemara have to tell us? Isn't this identical to the previous Gemara? So he answers, as we just explained, in this case that we now are explaining, there are some roots underground. In the previous Gemara, there was nothing underground. So maybe only when there's nothing underground is Rav Sheshes Machmer. But in a situation where you have something underground, maybe over there Rav Sheshes will be lenient. That's why the Gemara had to teach us that even in this case, it's the subject of the Machlokes. Then says the Gemara, you have another situation where you have a nigra, where the tree is growing out from a ditch in the ground. So above the ditch, the tree is completely visible. But in certain parts of the ditch, the tree is less visible, and in certain part, it is more visible. And the question now will be, when you have a part that's visible above 3, but you have also some that's not visible above 3, What will be the halacha? Do I say since some of it is visible above three, it's completely usur or not? Another question. V'chein Karen's office. You have a tree in the corner of a wall. So three of the sides of the tree are completely embedded in the walls. And since it's embedded in the wall, you can't see any root that's sticking out. On the side that's not embedded in the corner of the wall, that's where you could see roots sticking out and perhaps even sticking out above three tefachim. So in all of these cases, Rava will be lenient and say what I don't see above three tefachim doesn't exist above three tefachim. And Rav Sheshes will be machmer in all of these cases. Says the Gemara, who dikla the havel abaya? Abaya had a palm tree, v'ava solak bi puma, and it went through the roof of the house. Apparently, the tree was planted within his home, and it stuck out of the roof. Also, kameh de Rabbi Yosef, they came to Rabbi Yosef to ask the question, how to look at the parts that grow out of the roof that are less than three tefachim from the floor of the roof, v'sharalei. And he said that it's fine. The tree that was in the house, says Rashi, Divrei Maskil Karava, was no question. Everybody didn't have a question on it. The question was only on what's sticking out of the roof. Amalei Rav Acha Batachlifa. So Rav Acha Batachlifa said to Abaya, the Sharilach, the one that says that we don't have to worry about anything above the roof, less than three tefachim, Karava Sharilach, is following the opinion of Rabbah. Says Mapshita. That's what we've been learning the entire shir. That Rav Sheshes says as soon as you have part of it sticking out from above, then you have a problem. And Rabba is lenient. Says the Gemara Malatema. Says the Gemara, here we might have thought that a feel of Rav Sheshes, that even Rav Sheshes is going to be lenient. Because we've learned early in our Masechta the concept of basic command of Molidami, that the entire house, the halacha looks like it's completely full. If the entire house is viewed as it's completely full, so that even Rav Sheshes will agree that anything that's sticking out from the roof, less than three tefachim, that's where it all begins. Kamash Malan, that a Rav Sheshes will hold that no, this is similar to all the other questions that we discussed, and he will be machmer. Tanan. Shrosho gvoim and arch shlosh tefachim. If the roots are above the ground, by three tefachim, la yeshev alayim, one may not sit on those roots. Says the Gemara, hechidam, exactly what is the case that the Mishnah is discussing? E, the lehadri kipi, if the roots do not turn back into the ground, pshita, of course they're above three tefachim, and we're learning that any time roots are above three tefachim, you may not sit in them. El lav, avgav the hadri kipi, that they're going back into the ground, and still, since at one point they were above ground, it seems that the Mishnah is teaching us that they remain permanently usur. Says Mar Olam Deloy Hadri Kipi. No, it's talking about a case that they're not going back underground. So if they're not going underground, obviously it's not a problem. V'ho Kamashmon, the Mishnah is teaching us a different din. Shavagav Tzida Echad Shavul Oretz. On one side, it is on the same level of the ground. One may not sit on that. One may not sit there if it's above three tefachim. We look at each spot of the tree individually. That means if one part is on the ground and one part is above the ground, what's on the ground is mutter, what's above the ground is not mutter. Tana banan, shar she'ilim shegvayim and arch shlosh tefachim, if you have roots that are higher than three tefachim, oy sheyesh chalal tachteyim, or there's a space under those roots, which are shlosh tefachim, which are three tefachim above the ground, even though one part of the root is on the same level on the ground, one may not sit on those roots, one may not climb a tree, one may not hang anything on a tree, and one may not rest on a tree. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Joyn, B'yeshiv Sham, the Mishnah, the Brisa teaches us that one may not go up a tree from the Erev Shabbos and remain on the tree, Kol HaYom Kula. And says the Brisa, Echad Ilon, this tree, this then applies by a tree, Vechad Kol Behema, by an animal also, the Mishnah Masech the Beya, the Flam of Avon Beis teaches us that one may not ride an animal on Shabbos or Yontif, Aval bar, when we take a, when you speak about a pit, siach amara, these are all different types of pits, just different shapes, together or a fence, metapas for oil, metapas for yard, man may climb up and down the these areas, but fila may am, even if they're 100 am tall. The halacha regarding a bar, Rashi says, even if the bar doesn't have any water in it, we may go in and out of the bar. The Rambam, however, disagrees. And the Rambam's opinion is the halacha that you could go into a bar is only when you need the bar. You need the water in the bar. But if there is no water in the bar, the Rambam holds it's usur. Why, explains the Bach, are we more strict on a tree and an animal? Because by a tree, there's a real concern that we're going to need a branch or a fruit. And by an animal, the same thing. We're concerned that you may need to hit the animal to get you to go. Other places, then we have to be more machmer. The Mishnah said, says the Gemara, Tani Chada, we learned in one brisa regarding these situations. Im Ola, if somebody went up the tree on Shabbos, mutalerit, he may descend from that tree on Shabbos. Certainly he wasn't allowed to go up. Now, one more point that the Ritva makes. Even though in the previous piece of Gemara, the Gemara sort of equated animals and trees, says the Ritva, here for sure animals and trees are not the same. And everybody agrees that if you went an animal, which of course you should not have on Shabbos, you may go down. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simen Shin Hei Sif Yud Ches explains, because we're worried about Tzar Baal Chaim if we're going to tell you to remain on that animal for the duration of Shabbos. Others explain that it's a violation of Shvisas Behemtoi if you remain on the animal for the duration of Shabbos. But then there's another brace that says, we're not allowed to go down from the tree if we went there on Shabbos. And the reason you're not allowed to go to is because climbing down a tree is an issur to do on Shabbos. So how do we reconcile these two brises? Answers the Gemara Lekasha. Kamer by join. If you went up from before Shabbos, we're more lenient. Kam Shech Shecha, if you only went up after Shabbos, Chazal was stricter and said that you cannot go down for the duration of Shabbos. So there's a very interesting machloikis. Al Gemara says that if you went up before Shabbos, we could be lenient. So the Torah says that's only if you went up before Shabbos without the intention of remaining there for Shabbos. But if you went up before Shabbos, but it was your intention to remain on that tree for the whole Shabbos, even though you went up before Shabbos, you would not be allowed to go down. The Magen Mishnah disagrees, and he says that Al Gemara says, under all circumstances, before Shabbos, you're allowed to go down. Once, if you did it on Shabbos, you can't. It doesn't make a difference what your intentions were. Rebbe Yisema, another way of understanding the two brises. Havav Meshech Shecha. They're both speaking about a situation that you went up after Shabbos began. V'loy Kasha. Kam B'Shoigig. If you went up B'Shoigig, we're more lenient. Kam B'Mezid. If you went up B'Mezid, we're more lenient. Vibai Sema, another teretz, the Hava B'Shoigig. Both prices are speaking about a situation that you went B'Shoigig. V'ochel, and the Machloik, and there's actually a Machloikis that we find in other places in Shas, which is B'Kontz B'Shoigig or T'Mezik Kamifki. By Mezik, everybody agrees we should give a Knas. And the question is, do we make a Knas B'Shoigig because of Mezik? Masover Kansinin, we do, or Masover, and the other Bryce says, like Kansinin. By Mezid, we certainly make a Knas, but that doesn't mean to be that we should do that by Shogig as well. So suggest the Gemara, Omer of Hunabred Yeshua, this Machloikis that we're discussing, if you went up the tree, what should you do? Maybe it's connected to Machloikis Tanoim. We know that an essential part of all Korbanos is the Zrikas Adam. When we speak about Zrikas Adam, there are different ways Zrikas Adam is done. Some Zrikas Adam is done with Matana Achas, that you spritz the dam only once on the corners of the Mizbeach. And some are done shtaim shen arba. You do it on two diagonal corners, and like doing those two zrikas, you have covered all four corners. So says the Gemara. We learned the Masechta Zvachim. Hanitana b'matana achas, shenis arvu b'hanitana b'matana achas. Two different types of kabonis, but have the same type of zrika. They got mixed up. You're not going to be b'hanitana achas. So since the zrika sadam of both of them is the same, you do one zrika and it covers both. And as I saw, the Rishonim explain, so what's the chiddush here? So one pshat is it's just a build up to the next Gemara. Another pshat is that maybe you should do two times one zrika for each of the blood of the kabbonis that's mixed in here. That's what we learned. No, you only do it once. And similarly, matan arba, two kabbonis whose zrika's dam, the both of them, the zrika's shtaim shen arba. So you do once, you not do matan arba. There's two ways of learning this. One is that you have a number of cups of dam, and you lost track from which blood, which dam comes. The other way of understanding is that you have the dam of different kabbonis got mixed up one with the other. So says the Gemara, but now we face a challenge. When you have a carbon that the dam that has that matan arba, shtaim shen arba, that got mixed up b'matan achas, with the blood that only has to have one zrika. What do I do? Rabbi Elazar Omer, you're not b'matan arba. Do matan arba, because we have here blood that requires matan arba. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, you're not b'matan achas. Yeshua says, do matan achas. And that will be fine, because with the Evid, as the Gemara Masechta Zvachim teaches us, the halacha is that one, that any carbon, if you did just one zrika, but the evid, it would be acceptable. And the Gemara develops Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua's dialogue around this issue. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Shua, Hare, if you're only going to do matan achas in a place where you should have done matan dalid, huayv about tigra, the Torah says that you're not allowed to diminish from any mitzvah. So if the Torah told us to do four zrikas, how could it be valid if I deliberately do only one? Amar Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua says, and according to you, where I'm going to do more zrikas on dam than I should have, harei oiv bal toisef. He's doing bal toisef because he's doing more zrikas than he should have. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said, lo yamar kishu ba'atzmai. When is there a concern? When there's no other dam, just dam that requires one zrika. So if there's only dam here that requires one zrika, and you did more than what the Torah tells you, you're right about Taisif. But in this mixture, you do have dam that required more than that. So since you have here dam that requires more than that, there's no about Taisif. So I'm like Rabbi Shua says the same line of reasoning I'm going to take. Like never about Tigra. This about Tigra only applies El Keshuba Atzmai. And here, if it's not alone, because I have here also dam that required two zrikas, so then doing less is not about Tigra. Amar Bishur, continue saying to Belazar, Kshnesata, when you did more zrikas than you should have, Avata about Taisif. So as we just explained, you're over the lava about Taisif. And how were you over the lava about Taisif? Because Vasisa Masab Yadecha, you did something actively. However, Shaloina Sato, when you didn't do it, so Avata Batigri, even if you'll argue, that's the way the Rishonim explained, even if you will argue that you're over Baltigra, but you did it with Sheva Taisa, and therefore Laisisa Masab Yadecha. And he suggests that it's always better to do Sheva Taisa to stay passive than to do something active. So the Gemara wants to say that machlokes will be connected to our machlokes. Rabbi Elazar d'Amar Hasam, that when you're supposed to do a mitzvah, that's what you should do, even though it may come with a way we're doing it. That's adif. That's what the Torah wants us to do. Hachinami, when we say to get off the tree, even though it involves doing an Aveira of climbing down a tree on Shabbos, that's what you should do to avoid, even though it involves doing something wrong. And Rabbi Shua, that says in the case of the dam, always stay, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Here too, he'll say, Hachnami, he'll say, Lo Yerid, leave, stay on the tree. Says the Gemara, Dom Elohi. The connection is not a connection. Because I can't come, Rabbi Elazar, Hossam, come out, say, Adav. When the Rabbi Elazar say, do extra zrikas, Ela the Ka'ovid mitzvah. Because when you're doing the extra zrikas, you are doing a mitzvah. Maybe the mitzvah comes along with about Toysif, but you are doing a mitzvah. Aval Hochen, Al Gemara, the Lo Yavid mitzvah, going down a tree is certainly not a mitzvah. Hochenami, maybe he will agree that Lo Yerid. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Atkan Lekam Rav Yeshua Hasam, Shevel Das Adif. Rav Yeshua says, stay passive and do less Zerika than more Zerika. Elder Lekavad Yisura, because there's no Mais Isser. Aval Hocha, by sitting on a tree, you're doing something wrong. You may not sit on the tree for the duration of Shabbos. Hachinami, maybe he would agree, the Yerid, that you should climb down the tree. So all the Gemara says that the two connections are not to be, the two Gemaras are not to be connected. So I saw that the Shas of Tshuvas Dvar Yeshua, Chelek Aleph, Simachov Dalid, discussed a situation where somebody has chametz in his property, and it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to somebody else. And he knows, so he wants to burn it, so that the person who owns it should not be over by your matzah. But he knows that if he burns that chametz, the person presumably is irreligious, and he'll make a claim at him for burning his chametz. What should you do? So he says that even though he can take the position, I'll burn it and pay for it, he's not obligated to do it. Because wherever I'm going to get into an situation that I didn't want to or shouldn't have to, Shavatai says Adif. Furthermore, the Chasam Sofer asks a question. He says, we know, Rashi says here, that why do we say, come, go do the extra zrikas? You shouldn't have to do, isn't Shavatai a much stronger point. So Rashi says, because Esse Doicha Loisa say, the essay of doing the Zerika is Doicha de Loisa say of Baal Toysef. So ask the Chasam Sofer, in the Shas of Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Evan Ezra, Chelik Bey, Simon Tzadik, he says that we only apply the concept of Esse Doicha Loisa say Be'idnei, that when you're doing the essay, you're also violating the Lav. And there's a rule, b'chol ha'tayra kula, esse doicha lesa say. But if you did the lav before the essay, then we don't say esse doicha lesa say. So ask the Chasam Sofer, as soon as you put the dam on the second corner, you're over the lav about toisef. The essay, you're not fulfilling until it rolls all the way down. So says the Chasam Sofer, that klal of esse doicha lesa say, and that we only say esse doicha lesa say, if it's be'itnei, is only said by a mitzvah of the yochid. But when we speak about a mitzvah of a rabbim, then it doesn't have to be be'itnei. So he's going to say, our Gemara is going to be speaking about kabbonis tzibur. And since it's kabbonis tzibur, we apply the concept of esei doicha loisa say under all circumstances. Says the Gemara. Another question. Tani chada, we learned in one braisa, echer ilan lach, vecher ilan yavish, both of it's a dry or moist tree. You're not allowed to go up those trees on Shabbos. But yet we learned another braisa of a medvar amurim that you're not allowed to climb up a tree, belach, or a moist tree, avol biyavish, if it's already dry, so it's not considered connected to the ground, it's mutter. So how do we reconcile these two braises? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda lo kasha. Kan shegiz a machlef, if the tree, the root, the branches will regenerate, so it's still considered lach. Can b'she'en gizle machlef, it's so dried out that it won't regenerate. Gizle machlef, ask the Gemara, gizle machlef, if it's going to regenerate, you can't call it yavish. Yavish kriselei? So how do we, so we're back to our question. Says the Gemara, eloi kasha. Can be maisachama, in the summer, when there are no trees, this tree is not giving out leaves, so everybody could tell that this tree is moist. Is dry. Because in the summer, most trees have leaves. And there's no maris ayin that people will think you could go up a tree that's moist. Kavim moisig shamim, that all trees don't have the leaves. And if you see somebody going up a dry tree, you don't recognize that it's a dry tree. You think it's a tree that's fine, just doesn't have leaves. Says the Gemara, but even in the summer, the leaves, the tree with the leaves and the tree without the leaves are a clear indication what is and isn't dry, but in the summer there's still fruit on the tree. And why were you not concerned that if you're going to go up the tree, you're going to cause the fruit to fall off? Says the Gemara, but the lakaperi. We're talking about a tree that has no fruit on it. But ask the Gemara, even if there isn't any fruit on it, for kamnasri kinsi, there are twigs on it that will fall off when you climb up. Says the Gemara, begduda, where it has no twigs, no branches. Any v'rav ikla fastia. Ask the Gemara, Rav came to fastia, v'as begduda, and he said you can't climb up a tree that's dry without any fruit, without any branches. Why was Rav being machmer? Of all these concerns, fell away. Answers the Gemara, Rav, that he was machmer, was bika matzaba ugadba. He saw that the people, as Rashi explains, of this city were amiratzim, and they didn't know the halacha, and he therefore saw no option other than saying that it's always usher to climb up a tree. Amar Rav Bacha Abra, Amar Rav Asi. Usher Adam Shalach Gaba Sav Mishabbos. One may not walk on grass and Shabbos, Mishum Shenabar V'Otz Beraglayim Chayta, that if somebody walks with his legs, he's considered a Baal Aveira, and this is the Aveira that walking where you're not supposed, you're walking on the ground and you're causing the grass to go out. Says the Gemara, Tanichad, we learned in one brisa, Mutalei Lecha Gabesom Shabbos, you may walk on grass and Shabbos, but Tanyida, but there's a different brisa that says Osir, that you may not. Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Ha, lachim, belachim, that easily come out, you may not go. Ha, beyveshim, dry ones that are considered already detached from the ground, you may walk on. Vibay same, another way of reconciling the brises. Ha, velachim, both are with moist grass. Loi Kasha. Kamen moisachama, where there's seed in the grass, so you cause them to shake out when you walk on them. Kam Maisa Gishamim, where there are no seeds, and you don't need to be concerned for that. Ribay Sayyim Ahava Habib Maisa Chamim. Vlakash, Adasai Masani, when he's wearing shoes so that the grass doesn't get pulled out when you're walking on them. Hadalai Sayyim Masani, if you're not wearing shoes, it's a concern. Vibay Sayyim, another while reconciling. Hava Hadasai Masani, you're wearing shoes. Vlakasha. Hada Islay Uksi, if the shoes have like nails sticking out from the bottom, they'll cause the grass to be ripped out. Hadalasli Iksi, if they don't have those spikes, you need not be concerned. Vibay Sayyim, Hava Hadasai Uksi. Hadalasli Sharcha, if the grass is long, so they easily get caught up in your shoes and in your feet, and they're going to get pulled out. Hadalasli Sharcha, and we need not to be concerned about that, says the Gemara. However, the Idna, the Kaimlon Krev Shimon, now that we followed the opinion of Shimon, that we learned of Shimon's opinion is that a Dov Shenim Skavin Mutter, then the Halach is Kule Shari, then you could always walk. Because since it's a Dov Shenim Skavin, so you don't intend to rip out the grass, and where you don't intend to rip out the grass, therefore it's Mutter. However, say the Paiskim, if it's inevitable that by walking on this grass, the grass will get pulled out, that becomes a psikresha, and therefore, even though it wasn't your intention to pull out the grass, it will still be usher to walk on the grass. The Sham Tzion Balacha is even more lenient, and he says that even in a situation where it's a psikresha, that some grass will get uprooted, it's still mutter according to Rav Shimon. He says that uprooting grass with your feet is never a malacha d'oraisa, because that's not the way you normally pick up grass. Secondly, he says it's a psikresha d'lay nichalei. So he says a psikresha d'lay nichalei by a malacha, which is a malacha d'rabbanon, we could be lenient. A husband cannot force his wife to have relations. So the Mefarshim ask, of course you can't force your wife. What's the Gemara teaching us? So the Yavetz explains, that even though this person is intending to do a mitzvah and intending to be mekayim the mitzvah puruvu and have children, you can't do it by forcing your wife. He'll have children who aren't worthy children. If it's done without her consent, it will create that the child that's born will be nefesh loy toif, not a good neshama. If he does be it twice, ask the Gemara, is that true? Any vamarava haroi tzalas is kabbal aram zecharim. If somebody wants to have boys, yivav liyishna. And as I sort of mefarshim explained, because Rashi teaches us at the beginning of Parashat Zriya, isha mazras tchila, then they'll have a boy. And the Gemara is assuming that if you do it twice, she will be mazriya at least the second time. So why sometimes do we find that if they had bia twice, they still have a girl? Because he was mazriya by the first, she got pregnant by the first bia where he was mazriya first. Loikasha, kaladas, if his wife consents to have bia twice, great. Kansh loiladas, but if she doesn't consent, then you may not do it. Amar Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ish tevas ba'al dvar mitzvah, if somebody's wife asks him to have relations, and of course the Gaon Yaakov says, when her intention is pure in order to fulfill the mitzvah, puruvu, and have children, have a leibonim, they'll have children that even in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there weren't such great children. And the Gemara explains itself. When we speak about the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to appoint judges, they needed to be Chachamim, Nevoinim, and Yeduim. Chachamim means smart people. Nevoinim means Mevinim, Dovim, Mitoich, Dovim. Yeduim are people who were well known. And Ksib, but the Pasuk says, V'keechas Shifteichem, Anoshim Chachamim, V'yeduim. He found people who were Chachamim. He found people who were Yeduim. V'ilu Nevoinim Layashkach. He could not find people who were Nevoinim. V'ilu Gabalei Ksib, when we speak about Leah, the Pasuk says, V'teitza Leah L'krosoi. Leah went out to greet Yaakov Avinu, v'tama elai tavi kisacha sechaticha, she made the deal with Rachel, with the flowers, and the ksiv, and from that union, Yisacha was born, and it says, v'mnei Yisacha, yoide bina le'itam odas mayas Yisrael, r'sheim masayim v'kalachem apiem. She was able to have children who are nevoilim. So I saw that the Chasam Sofer explains, how can we say that in the time of the Midbar, there were no Nevoinim. So he says, the difference between a Chacham is a Chacham knows what his Rebbe taught him. A Novin, as we said a moment ago, is someone who's Maven Dover, Metoich Dover. In the time of the Midbar, they didn't learn anything. It was only before Moshe Rabbeinu taught them any Torah. So if they didn't learn any Torah, it's not possible for them to be Nevoinim. You have to start with a knowledge base. And after you have a knowledge base, then you can become a Novin. So ask the Chasam Sofer, if that's the way we're understanding, so how can it be considered Chacham if they didn't learn? So he says, a Chacham is not just a person who learned. He says, a Chacham includes a person who wants to learn. So Chachamim, they had in the Midbar. But Nevoinim, they didn't have in the Midbar. Why, says the Reb Tzadik, were B'nai Yisachar Zoicha to be Nevoinim? So says the Bnei Yisachar, because they recognized and always want to be connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what does it say about the Bnei Yisachar? They were Yoidei Itim. They knew when Yontav is, when Rosh Chodesh is, etc. A person who's always connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu recognizes what today should be. He's always thinking about what is today's situation in our Avodas Hashem. Eini, is that true that a woman should ask her husband for relations? When Chava did the Aveira of the Eitz Hadas, she was cursed 10 times. Ksiv, Elisha Omar, Harba Eber, Elishnei Tipa Damim. Every woman has two types of blood that emanates from her body. Echastam Nidav, Echastam Besulim. It's Beinach, Zat Tzah Gilabonim. Veryonach, Zat Tzari Eber. So many Mepharshim asked the question, The Gemara here mentions Tsar Gidel Bonim before Tsar Leida, Tsar Ibur. But it's just the opposite. Women first get pregnant, and then they have Tsar Gidel Bonim. So many explain that when Chava had Kain Vehevel, she was before the curse of Tsar Ibur. So by her, there was first Tsar Gidel Bonim of Kain Hevel, and then Tsar Ibur came later on when she had Sheis many years later. Another pshat that I saw, that even though the Tsar Ibur comes before the Tsar Gidel Bonim, but the Tsar Gidel Bonim lasts for many years. The Tsar Ibur, even though it's difficult, has an end to it. And that's why the Gemara mentions the Tsar Gidel Bonim, which is longer than the Tsar Ibur, which is only for a limited amount of time. And the Bashar points out, well, why is Tsar Gidel Bonim attributed to the woman? Doesn't a man also have Tsar Gidel Bonim? So he says that the Iker Chinuch is the mother, and therefore she has more Tsar Gidel Bonim than her husband. Beitz Tzar Bonim, Kmashmai, childbirth, Velichech Chusech, Mlamish Ishim Shtakekas Abala. A woman wants to have relations with her husband, Bishar Shiyotz Laderach, when he goes to on a trip. She's more interested than he. A woman can only desire but doesn't ask for relations. Vish tavebepe. Man asks for it. Says the Gemara. Zumi the tave benoshim. That shows a certain sneers by woman. So here, how did Rabbi Yochanan say that a woman asks her husband for relations? Answers the Gemara. A woman, of course, should never expressly ask. Ki kamrinan. What the Gemara meant to say over here was the matsui atzi kamei. What she does is that she asks, she does things to show that she's interested, but never should she say it deliberately. Says the Gemara, Hani Shavi Haven, but we said that she was cursed 10, and there are only 7 the psukim. Says the Gemara, Kurasu Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Etzisrael, Omar, he said, Atufa k'ovel, she always has her hair covered like an oval. Menudim kol adam, and the Gemara will explain this in a moment, the chavusha beis esurim, she's always indoors, because you know, kol kvud beis melech panima. My menudim kol adam, what does it mean that she's separated? Asked the Gemara. In lem mishum da'asul yichud, that she's not allowed to be alone with a man. Asked the Gemara, iu nami asul yichud. A man also is asul yichud. Says the Gemara, el deser el beitrei. Midaraisa, a man can marry 2 women, and a woman, of course, cannot marry 2 men. But Sinsatani, Shmagadla, Rigdel Sar Kalilis, she has long hair like a shade. The Shavas Mantanis Mayan Kabaima, that when she uses the bathroom, she sits like an animal, sitting, not standing. The Nasis Kalabala, that he's on top, the Shas Tashmish. Vidach, and Ravdimi, why didn't he mention these 3? Says the Gemara, the Hani Shvachula. These are on Klolus, the Brachas. This that she has long hair, if she makes her hair nice, then there's no Klol in there. And this that she sits when she urinates represents Tznius. And that she is the bottom by Tashmish is because she has less exertion by the Bia than he does. And therefore, since she has less exertion, that's why she should be on bottom. Dom Rav Chia Madik Siv, and Rav Chia says this that a woman acts betznius when she uses the bathroom. The pasuk says in Iyuv, we can learn how to behave from the animals. Melafnim behemis zupreida. We learn from Meul shekiras umishtamis meshtenis mayim that she sits when she urinates. Umayv shemayim yichakmenu zatanagol shemafayis, that it first speaks to the animal, it speaks to its mate, v'rachach kapoil. And in fact, I saw a tshuva for Vadi Yosef in the Shalz of Tshuva Shabi Oyme Chelik Dalid Erechayim Simon Chof, that based on this Gemara we could understand why there may be a point to go to the zoo. Where we see animals and we learn from the behavior of the animals That is, the Gemara says, is the way we're supposed to learn. So I saw that the Sefer Arvid Nachal explains, animals don't have Bechira. So what does the Gemara mean that we would have learned from an animal? So he explains, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created animal this way is the fact, is the way that we should understand that that's the way we're supposed to behave. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Molei, Leinit HaTorah. If not that the fact that the Torah was given, we would have learned sneeze from a cat that always covers its waist. It collects its own food, but it never, it doesn't steal from any other animal. So the Mefarshim ask, it doesn't steal from another animal, but it steals from people. So what's the Gemara saying that we're learning Gezel from the Mola? So I saw a beautiful pshat. He's that, why does it steal from people? Because it has no one to stop it. So from here we're learning how important it is to have a system where people should have someone watching them from not doing the wrong thing. Arise from a yoina, it always mates with its own mate. Before it does bia, it always tries to speak nicely to its mate. So the Gemara explains, what does it do? My Mephias, what does it do? Amar Yehuda Barav, V'achi Kamala, Zvinalach Siga, the Matalach HaKarach. The legs of a hen are bare. So the male says to the female, I'm going to buy you a coat that will reach the ground and will cover your bare legs. V'basi HaKamala, and after the bia takes place, it bows down. You could see it bows down to its mate, and it says to Lashamte Lakabrissa Dautanago, may my crap be cut off, Yisley, if I had the money, Veloz Vinalach. I would love to keep my word, but I don't have the ability to keep my word because I don't have money to pay for this coat. But here we see, to explain the Mefarshim, that we would have learned everything from the different animals. But the Medrash says, "B'shosh netan Torah Yisrael." When the Torah was given, Klal Yisrael, lo yitzipa mitzatzef, there was no bird that chirped, lo yoy pareich, lo yam zdaz. The entire world came still. So I saw that the Sefer Be'er Shmuel explains, beautiful pshat. He explains that why did the entire world come to a standstill by Kabbalah Satayra? Because until Kabbalah Satayra, all the animals and all the birds were chirping, so that we shall learn from them how to behave, as the Gemara just taught us. But once the Torah was given, everything we know to need to know how to do, and every way we need to know how to behave, is all in the Torah. Since it's all in the Torah, so all the animals and birds in the world could come to a stop. We don't need to watch them. We don't need to learn from them, because everything we need to learn, we could easily, or not necessarily easily, but we could, through learning the Torah, understand and know what to do.